السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، respected brothers, I mentioned last night in my majlis or in the zikr program that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got two routes, two roads by means of which we can reach Him. I explained this in some other majlis in detail. Hey, isi tarah se mumkin teri raah se guzarna. Hey, isi tarah se mumkin teri raah se guzarna. Kabhi dil se shukr karna, kabhi dil pe sabr karna. This is the only way, O Allah, of reaching you. That sometimes you are making plenty of shukr over the ni'mats that you have been given. The person, the ni'mats and the blessings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which are unlimited, he is making plenty of shukr. Shukr over sight, shukr over hearing. Showing gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for being able to speak, walk, talk. All the ni'mats, food, clothing. So sometimes it is shukr. And sometimes the person has to make sabr. Sickness, ill health, poverty, disasters, all these type of things in a person's life. As long as he is pleasing Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then these two routes the person will have to walk. As long as he is pleasing Allah Ta'ala, then in all conditions he is happy with Allah. Whatever condition comes, if it is from his Mawla, from his beloved, then why must he be concerned? Yes, it is necessary that we must make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created for us to try and find a way out of our problems. If the person is sick, take medication. If he is in poverty and starvation, go to the bazaar, marketplaces, make an effort to earn. Find some way out. But be pleased with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala under all conditions. If I'm going to continue on this subject, we will go in some other line. What I want to bring across to you in today's Jummah talk is something very important. All of us, the moment we listen to the virtues of Makkah Mukarramah, the virtues of Hajj, the virtues of being on Arafat, the virtues of making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, then a great desire comes into the heart to go for Hajj. In the same way, when we listen to the virtues of Madina Tayyiba, the greatness of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the good fortune of being able to stand in front of the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and say As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah directly, when we listen to the virtues, then indeed a strong desire comes in our hearts to be also part of that congregation. However, what is very important is that it must not be at the expense of others. I am not speaking on the fazail of Hajj. I want to bring across to you a very important point. That at present, unfortunately, there are many people who have made it like a status symbol to show the family or to show the friends, or Allah knows with what niyat, they want to go for Hajj every year. They want to go for Umrah every year. But on the other hand, they are owing people plenty of money. They have not given up the taking of interest. They are indulging in gambling. But the most important thing is that they are owing people monies. There is qaraz on them. They have made their farz hajj. I received at least half a dozen calls, without exaggeration, during this period of hajj, at least half a dozen calls, both from men and women. They are saying, Maulana, why don't you talk to the people and tell them that they are owing people money, then they must make sure that first they pay before they go for hajj. So I tell them that we have been speaking on this over and over, but that is all we can do. We cannot hold anybody behind. Qaraz or debts. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one sahabi asked him a question. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person becomes shaheed, he gives his life for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, will all his sins be forgiven and will he enter into Jannat? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, indeed, he will enter into Jannat and he gave his life, so all his sins are forgiven. A few moments passed, that person did not get up from that majlis, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam comes and informs Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that illa ad-dain, except his debts, except that qarz which he has taken, those debts that he has incurred, that is not waived off. Then in another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says that if a person becomes martyred, he becomes shaheed, and he gets life, he gets shaheed and he gets life, he gets shaheed and he gets life, then too the debts of the person, the qarz of the person, the loans that he has taken, that is not waived off. It is not forgiven. The person will have to pay for it. He does not get entry into Jannat. Unless, of course, that person made a sincere effort to pay. He was, unfortunately, in such dire circumstances that with all his effort also, he couldn't get sufficient amount to pay the debts. Then it is hoped Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive that person. But what I am talking about is that people who are going for umrahs and going for hajj upon hajj, and not only hajj upon hajj, but there are people who are owing monies for qurbanis which were done years ago. There are non-Muslims who are writing to us, who are telephoning us. This happened last Eid also. That your Muslim community, how can they do such a thing? They purchase the best of animals, they take large numbers of animals, and they promise to pay. And after that we don't receive our payment. And then these people sell it to others, and some people don't pay them. So who are we trying to show? If we can manage one qurbani which is wajib, then do that one qurbani. We don't have to show the people. But that is what is wajib. But I am talking about qarz which is being taken. People are incurring debts just for name and fame, nothing else. A person has got a good reasonable house, or he is renting a flat and he is managing the rental, but he just takes a loan from the bank to show the people that I am also the owner of a big, large, spacious home. Then the bank tightens the noose around the person's neck. Then this person does not know what to do. There are so many people who are taking loans just so that they may be able to invite and feed 1,000 people or 500 people. Also that they may be able to buy clothes of a very expensive kind to show the people on the occasion of the marriage of their son or daughter that we are living a very grand lifestyle, whereas it is all borrowed money. If a person can afford, and within the framework of Sharia, if he eats and drinks and wears good clothes or travels in a good car, that is accepted. But just to incur debts, to borrow from the banks, to take on interest, to show the people that we are owners of great big homes, or we can also compete. If you have got 100,000 car, then I can buy 150,000 car. If you have got a 200,000 car, I can buy a 500,000 car. This is not going to help anyone. This person will unfortunately suffer sleepless nights. Hazrat Luqman, who is known as Hakim, the wise one, he says that do not consider four things as insignificant, even though they may be little. Four things, even if they are little, don't consider them insignificant. One is qarz, debts. He says, don't consider it insignificant, that I'm only owing 1,000 rand, I'm only owing 2,000 rands. Marz, sickness, that at the early stage, treat that sickness. It can become worse. The third thing he said is that don't treat enmity as insignificant, that he's just a small enemy of mine. The small enemy can do big things. Even if the person is a small enemy, we have had a little bit of argument and quarrel and dispute, then try and resolve it. Ask for forgiveness. Repay if something has to be paid. But don't keep that enmity going. It could lead to big problems. And he said, don't consider fire as insignificant. We know that one matchstick is sufficient to light up the huge forest. So one of the things that he mentioned there was qarz, these debts. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine he is saying that even if that person is becoming a shaheed, but his qarz, his debts, he will be accountable. It's not going to gain him entry into Jannat. So then what is the advantage of going for nafil hajj and nafil umrahs when the person knows that there are people who are waiting for their monies to be paid? I am not saying that it is not permissible to take qarz. It is permissible. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself took qarz. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu took qarz. So many other sahabas took qarz. But for what did they take qarz? Why did they borrow? Was it just for a lavish lifestyle? Just to show the people? Their qarz was for the purpose of deen. They were so occupied in the propagation of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that they did not sometimes have the time to go and earn. But still, they made the effort. After they took the loans, it's not that they said that we are doing propagation work, so you must be patient and you must wait for your money. If the need arose that they had to take a loan, they took. But they were so concerned that they cried at nights that, oh Allah, make it easy for us to pay back this loan. They went even to the gardens and the orchards and to the farms of the Jewish people that were around Medina Sharif at that time to break dates, to draw water and get some money to pay back that loan. They never considered it as something embarrassing, humiliating, that I have to go and work to go and pay back this loan. So the first thing is that don't take loans without there being a genuine need. Because at night, it will cause restlessness. When the people will demand, then the person will not have a sleep. And during the day, it is going to be embarrassment and humiliation and disgrace. We can all come down. We can all come down in our lifestyles. If a person is having 3 good meals, he can come down to 2 good meals. He can even come down to 1 meal. He can even have dal every day. So coming down is easier. But competition, that I want to also live like the next person, it's going to be very difficult. Because the person's wages are not going to increase the very next day or next month. So So he will be sitting with this loan. And especially at present, we know what is the condition of our economies. So why go deeper and deeper? It really hurts when a person says that I am paying 200,000 rand interest to the banks. Somebody is paying 400,000 rands a month interest. And some even paying more than that. And yet we curse those same banks, and we curse those same Jews, and we curse America and Israel, and we curse the capitalist system. But who is it that sustains it? It is we who are sustaining it. What is the need for it? In fact, I go even one step further, that if collectors come to your door, some people unfortunately are pestered by collectors. There are so many collectors that they don't know what to do. And now to keep the name that Mr. So-and-so is giving a donation, so he cannot give 50 rands, he cannot give 20 rands, he has to give 1,000 to start off, or much more than that. Now how many people is he going to give 1,000? So why worry about that rubber stamp and who is giving? If you can only afford to give 5 rands, you give the person 5 rands and tell him I've got a big bank overdraft at present. And I'm trying to get out of that. And make an effort to get out of that bank overdraft. A few days ago a person tells me, Maulana, please make dua. My 2 houses are going to go. My business is in a problem. And we are having restless nights, no sleep. So I asked him, what do you own? What are your assets? Tell me the truth. He said, be honest and tell me the truth. What are your assets? What do you own? Now when he gave me the list of assets, I said, if you are owing 450,000 rand to the banks, which is now compounding interest upon interest, if you dispose of one of your buildings, just one, which is a surplus one, you will pay off the bank and you will sit with at least another 500,000-600,000 rand in your pocket. So what are you crying for? Why don't you get out of it? No matter how good a location that property may be in, no matter how beautiful a site, and no matter how valuable that property, but when you are suffering sleepless night, and you are going to face embarrassment and humiliation, then why sit with everything? Allah Ta'ala will give you again, but sell. All of us who are in qaraz, we should look into our homes. There are so many things that we can dispose of and come out of our qaraz. There are so many surplus assets that we have, which we can dispose of and come out of our qaraz. If we have a luxury car, in the 300,000-400,000 rand bracket, we can sell that and drive a Beetle. Nobody is going to chase us out. So first thing we must get out of our hearts is people, people, people. How long are we going to please people? In trying to please people, we are displeasing our Allah. And when Allah becomes displeased, He makes life miserable. With everything, Allah Ta'ala makes life miserable. Qarz is such an important thing. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, that great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in one of his malfuz he says, that person who is owing people money, that person who has debts, he has incurred loans, he has made his farz hajj, now he is going for nafil hajj. Or Hajj is not farz on him, because he is owing plentiful of money, and he is living on bare necessities, but now he doesn't have the money to go for Hajj, so it's not farz. So he says that if this person who is owing people, he's got debts, he deprives the family of the necessities of life, because he's going away, he hasn't made sure that they will have sufficient during his absence. They will have to go and beg next door for some bread and milk. I'm just explaining. He doesn't leave behind sufficient funds for them. Or he goes for Hajj whilst he is owing people monies. he's got debts. Then this person, the words he uses, he says this person is a zalim, is an unjust person, is zalim, is making zulm. And this person is under the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi says that this person who is not paying the people the money that he is owing to them and he is running about nafil hajj, nafil umrah, deen work, khanqahs, going and visiting the sheikhs or going for other deeni activities, and in the meantime the people are sitting with promissory notes and bills which are not paid. So then Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi says that this person is under the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now what kind of hajj is that where the person is under the curse of Allah? What kind of umrah is that where the person is under the curse of Allah? What kind of dini work is that where the person is under the curse of Allah? But if a person is owing money and he wants to go, then he must make sure that he goes and talks to the person to whom he is owing, and make the proper arrangement. It's not that you have to have all qaraz paid before you go for Hajj or Umrah. A person can have assets which can then be used for the payment of his qaraz in the event of his death. But I am talking about those people who want their money. It's not a person who said that, look, if you can pay now or you pay later or you pay 10 years time, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the person who went to someone and said, please give me 2,000 rand, 10,000 rands, or went and bought goods from some merchant, and thereafter told that person that I will pay you within 30 days or 60 days. And now the time is up for that payment. But instead of making that payment, he's gone for Nafil Hajj. Instead of making that payment, now he's gone for Umrah. Instead of making that payment, he's gone for Dini activities. Instead of making that payment, he's gone to his Shaykh and sitting in some Khanqah. So these people, as a Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramatullah Ali, such a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, he says that they are under the curse of Allah Ta'ala. So my message is this, the time has expired. Inshallah we'll continue if Allah wills, gives me life and health. That Nafil Hajj, Nafil Umrahs and all these things, we will only get reward and sawab if it is done according to the Quran and the Sunnah. And the demand of the Quran and the Sunnah is that the person should pay his debts. When the person wants a loan, at that time he talks sweet words. Don't worry, I will pay you. You don't trust me. I have dealt with so many people. Now when he gets the loan, after that sometime it appears as if he has done a great favor upon the person who has loaned him the money. And every time that he has asked for his money, he said, you think I'm going to run away? You think I'm going to take your money and die? So that is not what a Muslim should be. There are which, as somebody said, untre un teri konsikal sidi. O camel, which part of your body is straight? That is our condition. Which part of our body is straight? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to follow the Quran and the Sunnah. Brothers, we all have heard, we all know very well, we are reading in the newspapers and listening over the news, what is happening in Mozambique, the floods, the damage, the disaster. We are sitting in an air-conditioned masjid. We are sitting in air-conditioned cars. We are resting in air-conditioned homes. People are hanging on the trees. They are clinging on to the trees and roofs for survival. Thousands of them. We don't know how many thousands lost their lives. So besides opening up our hearts and contributing towards such causes, at the same time we should make a lot of dua that Allah Ta'ala ease their problem, remove their difficulties, and cause the flood waters to subside, and once again restore them, their homes, and settle them comfortably. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.